On 88.1 WIPR, I'm Tom Hall. This is Midday. Today, a look at some of the year's best television. Actors and producers of color were prominent in many of the year's critically acclaimed shows. Is diversity finally becoming a priority in Hollywood? Is this a trend that's here to stay? We'll talk about why breakout shows like Insecure and Atlanta are resonating in such a big way, and have some of the hits of the past run their course. Is Walking Dead dead? Just in time for a holiday break binge-watching, we've got some binge-worthy recommendations from our self-proclaimed TV junkies, Bridget Armstrong and Jamila Krempel. We welcome your suggestions for what's hot and what's not. It's Tube Talk on Midday, right after the news. And welcome, everybody. Glad you're with us for Midday. I'm Tom Hall, and I am totally stoked. I'm totally stoked about today's show. We're going to talk about television, the hits and misses of 2016. It has been a very exciting year for actors of color on the big and small screens. For the past couple of years, the Oscars So White hashtag sparked a larger conversation about diversity in film when not a single actor of color was nominated for an Academy Award in either 2015 or 2016. Well, 2017 is already off to a better start, kicking off the awards this season, the awards season, rather, which is sort of starting around now. Nominations for the Golden Globes were announced last week. 24 actors and producers of color are nominated for a Golden Globe. Breakout shows like HBO's Insecure and FX's Atlanta have hit it big with audiences and critics. And if you plan on spending some downtime camping out in front of the TV during your holiday break, we'll talk about some of the series that are most binge-worthy. Bridget Armstrong is here. She's a producer on Midday. Jamila Krempel is a digital producer for us here at WIPR. They are both self-proclaimed television junkies. Welcome to Studio A.
Thanks for having us.
Good to see you both on the other side of the table that you're not used to being on. But we are delighted that you are here. You are welcome to join us as well. Give us a call here at Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email address, midday@wypr.org, and our Twitter handle, @MiddayTomHall. So I have to tell folks how this came to be, that the three of us find ourselves in Studio A. Jamila used to be on the production team of Marilyn Morning back in the day. You worked on The Lines Between Us, a wonderful series that we actually, Sheila Cast and the team there, won a very prestigious award, a DuPont Award for. And at that time, you and I talked about finding somebody, an expert type, that could talk about television for the morning show. And then you left and you went and did some other things. Fast forward a little bit, and Bridget, you started working for us again. We were on the morning show back in the day, in March of this year. And then, of course, we switched to the noon hour a few months ago. But you and I also talked about, you know, we should find somebody who knows a lot about TV so that we can do segments about TV. So, Bridget, you like Dick Cheney'd me, which I thought was really great. So, like George Bush the second went to Dick Cheney and said, "You need to find me a vice president." Right? So there's 320 million people in the United States. He interviewed everyone. I mean, I know I was interviewed. I assume you two were as well. Right? Yeah. And he chose himself.
Of course.
Right? And so you came up with this great idea a few weeks ago. You said, you know, I watch a lot of TV. Jamila watches a lot of TV. Let's just talk about TV. I think that's an excellent way of finding a guest.
I'm glad, even though I let you down the first time, you allowed me to
No, no, you haven't let me down at all. This is the perfect solution. So you guys have, your erudition comes from the fact that you spend a lot of time watching the Tube.
Yeah. Of course. You know what I mean? After sitting there watching TV for months trying to figure out who we're going to get to talk about TV, it dawned on me that clearly I could talk about it all.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I'm here or I'm watching TV.
That's right. Those are the only two things you do in your life. So, okay. I thought my life was pathetic, Bridget, but now this is good. You've one-upped me.
Thank you.
So the awards, let's talk a little bit about them. So the Golden Globes are out. We talked about the fact that we have 24 people of color nominated this year. That's a good thing. The Screen Actors Guild Awards and Golden Globes, by the way, are going to take place on the 8th of January, so right after the first year. So we'll find out who the big winners are there. And they are often a precursor for like the Academy Awards, right?
Correct. And the movie section. So Golden Globes has television and movies,
right.
As well as the Screen Actors Guild, television and movies, and kind of the same pool of movies end up, you know, nominated for Oscars, and usually one that wins or one that's favorite to win ends up winning an Oscar as well.
So, you know, we want to keep an eye on this because it'll be a harbinger of what could happen. So Screen Actors Guild comes out the end of January. The Critics' Choice Awards have already been awarded. They happened on the 11th of this month. The People's Choice nominees are going to take place, or they've been nominated, and the awards are going to take place at the end of January. NAACP Image Awards are the middle of February. Of course, then the Emmys, then they happen much later in the year. But, I mean, do award shows matter? I mean, Oscar So White highlighted the fact that, you know, so few people of color were the people nominating people, you know, to be to win these awards. So if they're out of touch, I mean, I don't know, Jamila, should we care, you know, who the Golden Globes pays attention to?
I think we should, because it's about representation, and it's kind of a statement that actors of color, directors of color, you know, people behind the scenes, that their work is in the same lane, you know, this high prestigious award. And I think it's about time that you see more diversity represented in the awardees. It's a big deal to, you know, the staff and the crew and the actors. So I think it's about time that the people who win the awards are more representative of, you know.
And Bridget, do we have the impression, the general impression, whether or not it's actually borne out in terms of the data, that over the last, say, you know, 4 or 5 years, there is greater representation of people of color on television and in movies?
I think we do have that impression. I mean, we started seeing a really popular show, Scandal, in 2012. Mm-hmm. We know Kerry Washington has been nominated for awards for that, Golden Globes. The show, I think, has won Emmys. And there was this huge response on Twitter from young Black people saying that watching this show, they're following along. And then we saw kind of the world of Shonda Rhimes expand. Shonda Rhimes is
Shonda
the creator.
Land.
Shondaland, of course. Thursday is Shondaland. She's the creator.
And she's a Black woman.
Black woman.
You know, hugely influential and successful in how Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy came first, then Scandal. She's also behind How to Get Away with Murder with Viola Davis. Viola Davis, of course, has won a lot of awards, very popular show. And I think that was kind of the beginning of seeing more diversity, and it felt like it because those shows were so popular and they were in the headlines, and Kerry Washington was everywhere. And I think it's important when you kind of have critical success for a show because it informs the other shows that are going to get made.
Right.
So we feel like, because of shows like Insecure, where Issa Rae has been funded for HBO, we feel like we're seeing more diversity. And I think it is because they're popular shows, they're shows with large budgets, they're well-written shows, and they're the ones that are being talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the numbers exactly, you know, bear out this huge change or this, you know, statistical difference in all the diversity we have on TV. I don't know if the numbers reflect that, but it sure feels like it.
Well, you know, for example, the movie Moonlight. Barry Jenkins, you know, a Black director, almost all Black cast, cleaned up at the Gotham Awards a few weeks ago. Has been nominated for all sorts of stuff
for
his future, you know. And it's, again, part of it is just validation to the people with the money in Hollywood that so-called Black movies can sell.
Sure. Exactly.
You know, that they have an audience that extends past just communities of color into, you know, gigantic, you know, so-called mainstream audiences.
And I think that does, that carries over to television too, because I mean, there's a Nielsen number that came out in 2013 that Black people are 37% more likely to watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it comes out to numbers. If more Black people are watching television, you should put some shows with some Black actors and actors of color and different experiences on.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're seeing.
Yeah.
University of Southern California did a report, and this was during the Oscars So White hashtag last year. This was started by a young woman named April Rain.
April Rain, yeah.
Who is actually from Maryland, and she was on our morning show. We talked to her about this. You know, just pointing out the fact that, you know, for 2 years in a row, no color actors of color nominated for awards in the Academy Awards. But the co-leads are actors that carry the ensemble in a film. Were 73% male and 26% female in 2014-15. So, you know, just the gender inequity is really quite something. And then in the difference between TV and digital series, 42% of people who were regulars on series were girls and women. And streaming shows, interestingly enough, feature the most females in the as principals in the cast. So there is a difference between broadcast and streaming.
For sure.
There's a difference between TV and movies. There's a difference in gender equality, racial equality. Mm-hmm. Latinos are still very underrepresented.
For sure.
I mean, what's that show? Is it Jane the Virgin?
Jane the Virgin, yeah. It's been on for a couple of seasons now, and it's, you know, it's got some critical success. It's got a following. But that's really the only one as far as a major network that we can point to that represents, you know, a Latino demographic, which is such a huge part of our population here in the U.S., and TV shows don't reflect that at all.
And then, of course, older women of color, I mean, the USC report basically pronounced them to be largely invisible.
We do see that.
And these are women over 40, women of color over the age of 40. So the Viola Davises of the world.
Is the only person that comes to mind in that category that's starring in a show for me. I don't know if there are others that you can think of, but when you see a black woman on TV, she's usually, or at least the character, is supposed to be, you know, in their 30s and their 20s. Mm-hmm. But no, not really anyone out of over 40 except Viola Davis.
Or they're playing grandmothers or like Jennifer Lewis on Black-ish. She's at least in her 60s at this point. She was in Dreamgirls in the original production, but they're kind of sidelined to those matriarchal family, you know, characters.
And of course, women in general, older women in general in Hollywood have a tough time. I remember a great joke that I think it was when Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were hosting the Golden Globes a few years ago. They said, well, Meryl Streep has been nominated again, which is a pretty perennial event.
Right.
But proving once again that women over 60 are recognized in Hollywood
if they're Meryl Streep.
Very true.
It really is true. But it's, you know, there's a couple of shows that I want to talk about before we take a break. One of them is Insecure.
Yeah.
And this is a woman, this is a show that stars a young African-American woman, Issa Rae. So, Jamila, tell me what this, I haven't seen this. This is an HBO thing, and I haven't seen it yet. But I hear terrific things about
wonderful.
It.
Wonderful. So, yes, it stars Issa Rae. Her character's name is Issa. She is a 29-year-old Los Angelino. She works for a nonprofit organization called We Got Y'all that works with underprivileged black kids in Los Angeles. But she is the only staff member of color at her nonprofit. So she really has to fight for her voice and her opinions to be respected and validated, which is kind of odd. You would think that people would look to her as sort of the representative, but she's oftentimes undermined by other colleagues. So she's kind of having a difficult time in her work life and in her outside of work life. She has a boyfriend that she's been with for a really long time, several years, and she just feels like they're going nowhere. So we really get to see her working through her life and the aspects of her life that she does not enjoy and how she interacts with her best friend. She's got a great group of girlfriends that provides one of the most, I think, authentic and best parts of the show is her relationships with women.
Cool. Let's listen to a little clip from Insecure on HBO.
Are you single?
I don't think that's appropriate.
You're single.
Okay. Since you guys are so interested in my personal life, here it is. I'm 28, actually 29, because today's my birthday. I came from a great family. I have a college degree. I work in the nonprofit world because I like to give back. I've been with my boyfriend for 5 years, and I did this to my hair on purpose. So I hope that covers everything. Does anybody actually have any questions about We Got Y'all?
Why ain't you married?
I'm just not right now.
So she's talking to the kids in this program, and I love even the name of the organization, We Got Y'all.
You know?
There's a dancer and educator here in town named Kwame Opari who talks about these well-meaning, white-run nonprofits who swoop into places like Sandtown, Winchester, and Harlem Park and try to do good. And he calls it unaffiliated benevolence. And what really attracts me to this show, which I am definitely going to look up, is that they're hitting this head on. Here's the only black woman in this all-white nonprofit. You know, and this is an experience that you two guys live out every day here at WYPR. I mean, you are two of just a few other people of color who work here. I mean, how many meetings are you in, you know, Bridget and Jamila, where you're the only person of color in that meeting? I mean, this is a real thing. I mean, they're picking up stuff that is in the lived experience of people of color all around the country.
For sure. I binged watched this show in one weekend, and I was cheering and like high-fiving myself because I could really attest to a lot of these experiences. It's really real and really funny.
Right. The character, she deals with kind of being questioned. I mean, one episode, she has to argue. They're going to have put on a ball for the kids. And she has to argue that they should have it in the neighborhood that the kids would live in. Baldwin Heights, I think Baldwin Hills is a neighborhood, traditionally a black neighborhood in the L.A. area. Of course, they want to have it in Beverly Hills, and they want to have it in this place that the kids aren't even invited to come to. And they're dealing with a nonprofit that specifically works with children. And she kind of has to argue that point that this makes no sense. Her coworkers are talking about free chairs and things that are irrelevant, and she constantly battles this. This is maybe sixth or seventh episode into the season, but from episode one, she's battling this. She's getting it from the kids, as we heard in the clip. She's getting it from her coworkers.
The premise is great. I mean, and her love life is all part of it, and her work life is part of it. I mean, this is, you know, these are the trials and tribulations that young people go through, and older people go through too.
Sure.
And the work life stuff is really good. It's realistic to me. But the funniest parts, or I guess the most interesting parts, or the juiciest parts, are the things with her boyfriend and that relationship. And we'll just say we're not going to spoil it for anyone. But there's a lot of discussion about the relationship and where it's left at the end of the season on the finale. So if you're interested in looking at watching it, you want to know what your side is. If you saw it, maybe whose side did you take without giving it away?
And it's already been renewed for a second season.
Good. Yeah. Good, good, good. All right. Insecure on HBO. Plenty more to talk about. Bridget Armstrong is a producer here on Midday. Jamila Krempel is the digital producer here at WIPR and a former producer for our morning show. We'll have more Tube Talk when we come back. Love to hear from you about the shows that you're particularly interested in this season. Our phone number here on Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email address, midday@wipr.org, and our Twitter handle if you want to drop us a tweet, @MiddayTomHall. Glad you're with us. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Very glad you are with us this afternoon. By the way, coming up tomorrow on the worldwide broadcast, legendary comic Paula Poundstone stops by ahead of her show at the Ram's Head in Annapolis on Friday night. Her career has spanned three decades, and we will spend the hour with Paula Poundstone tomorrow. We'll take your calls and comments. That's all coming up tomorrow on Midday. If you're just joining us today, we're talking TV with two self-proclaimed TV junkies, WIPR digital producer Jamila Krempel and Midday producer Bridget Armstrong. We are very interested to know what you're watching, what you're liking, what you're binging on, what you're planning to binge on over the holiday break, if you get one. Our phone number here at Midday, 410-662-8780. That's 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org, and our Twitter handle, @MiddayTomHall. So there's this guy, Donald Glover. There's a profile of him in the New Yorker magazine. Mm-hmm. He's a really, really interesting guy.
Very talented.
Musician, filmmaker, stuff. And he is the creative animating force behind Atlanta, which is has taken the world by storm. I mean, this is Bridget, this is a really, really popular show on FX. Set it up for us. What's the premise of Atlanta?
So Donald Glover, he plays a character named Earn, who is a college dropout. He has a cousin who goes by Paperboy. His real name on the show is Alfred. Paperboy hits it big. He has a viral song, Paperboy, Paperboy, I'm all about that Paperboy. That's the lyrics of the song. It goes viral, and Earn decides that he wants to manage his career. They have a kind of kooky friend played by Keith Stanfield, a friend named Darius, and the three of them kind of, I guess, traipse around Atlanta and get into adventures and trouble while Earn's trying to balance, you know, managing his cousin's career and being a father and his relationship with the mother of his child. Paperboy's dealing with this kind of instant fame and all of these people that just know him suddenly. And he was, for all purposes, just a regular old drug dealer. so they're dealing with that. And that's the premise of the show. I mean, when you talk about what's the plot, what happens, one of the things that stands out for me in Atlanta is nothing, a lot happens, but nothing really happens. Mm-hmm. It's one of those shows.
Just it's like kind Black of a, Seinfeld or something.
What is exactly.
It? That is exactly what it is. Exactly. Just kind of wandering through life and these strange occurrences happen. But it's a great show. Of course, people who are fans of Donald Glover remember him from Community. You said he's a
he's
hip-hop
a rapper.
Artist as well. Childish Gambino. Is
Childish Gambino
Childish
is
Gambino.
His name.
Yes,
right.
his rap, rap name. Yeah. Very talented. But I think the show just really reflects the strangeness that can be Atlanta.
Yeah, well, let's listen to a little clip, and we should warn folks that the language in this clip gets a little rough. Here's a clip from Atlanta on FX.
I should have just went home, boy. Instead, I'm in here locked up because of this fool I ain't seen about 11 years, man. Why was that 5 points about to kiss the bus, feel me? And this I ain't seen 11 years come up to my man, listen, hey, boy, I ain't seen you about 11 years, boy, let's hang out. They're going to get a bill. So I follow him to the goddamn gas station. We get 2 beers. They ain't get but 2 of them, but they were the big ones, though. It was the big ones. You know, anyway, so like, man, come on, let's go to the house and drink them. So we get to the house, like, man, my old lady here, so we just gonna drink them on the porch. Feel me? I'm like, boy, APD be rolling through here, boy. He done talked me into it, so sure enough, APD done roll up and seen the goddamn 2 cans out there. Light me up for a pub intoxication. You know what I'm talking about?
I tell you, I'm playing like Mr. White Boy here. I mean, I think I picked up like 10% of it. It reminds me, there was some this movie, there was like some Irish movie. I remember we all sat around the Charles Theater. We had no idea what these people were saying. SNL did a skit about it. Yeah. So I caught 5 points. I know that that's a place in Atlanta because I used to live in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. You know, so but, yeah.
Should we translate for you?
Yeah, please, please.
You want to go first?
I can go ahead. Okay. So basically, Erin gets arrested. Erin and Paperboy get into one of their many adventures. They get arrested. They meet this guy in jail. And the guy asks him, what are you in here for? Before Erin can answer, he starts with this long monologue that we just heard. He's basically saying he saw this guy that he hasn't seen in 11 years and he should have just went home. That's why I should have just went home, boy. He should have went home, but instead he grabs a beer with this guy and they decide to sit on the porch because the man's wife was home and did not want them in the house drinking beer. They decide to sit on the porch. The guy warns them, the police roll through here, and sure enough, the police roll through. He gets arrested for public intoxication. He's in jail. He later tells us this part isn't in the clip. Since he didn't cash his check, he's going to be in jail until Tuesday.
Well, you guys are handy to have around.
Yeah, hey,
I would not have caught all of that by any chance. All right, well, give me another chance. We have another clip.
Okay.
Another clip from Atlanta.
You'll be able to.
So here's my second try here to see if we can figure out what's going on in Atlanta.
Yeah, man, I need Malcolm. You two, Martin. You know what they did to him? They killed him.
Didn't they kill Malcolm, too?
Well, no, no, they say that. But ain't nobody seen the body since the funeral.
That's how funerals work. Alfred, you already Malcolm, okay? You have that already. What you really need is a silent wild card. Somebody who's about the money, the opportunity, who can play both sides if needed.
Oh, like Don Lemon.
Fair point. Let me rephrase what I'm trying to say.
Don Lemon. All right, I got that.
Yes.
All right, so that's Mr. Glover, the creator of the show.
Yes. So three main characters you hear in that clip. So Donald Glover, Ernest, is trying to be Paperboy's, his cousin, trying to be his manager. Alfred is really not feeling it. He doesn't think he has the right chutzpah. He doesn't carry himself like a manager of a rapper, which he doesn't. But Paperboy also isn't the typical what you would expect from a rapper. So Donald Glover is trying to convince him. I should say Earn, his character, is trying to convince Paperboy, let me be your manager. And the person who delivers the Don Lemon line is their friend Darius, who is my favorite character
Mine
of the
too.
Entire show.
Mine too.
He's wild. He's weird. He smokes a lot of pot. So you never know what he's going to say or do.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the fact that the premise is so real. I mean, it's like Insecure. I mean, the premise of that is terrific. This young black woman working at a white-run nonprofit mm-hmm. and dealing with her love life and dealing with, you know, the racial dynamics of her day-to-day life. It's a real thing. This happens. And Atlanta, I mean, of course, Atlanta is a center of the hip-hop world. I mean, it has been ever
sure.
since hip-hop started. I mean, it's basically Brooklyn and Atlanta are the two places where it happened. We're talking Tube here on Midday, 410-662-8780. Midday at WIPR is our email address and our Twitter handle at Midday Tom Hall. Bridget Armstrong and Jamila Krempel are with me here in the studio. Let's go to the phones. Greg in Catonsville, welcome to Midday.
Thanks, Tom. I just wanted to mention one particular show, Designated Survivor, that is, it's pretty amazing. It's Kiefer Sutherland and, you know, post 9/11 type attack on the Capitol, and he's one of the few survivors in the executive branch, and becomes president. And there's just a lot of conspiracy and a lot of, it takes up, if you saw his 24, it's less intense than that, but it's still as good as that.
Yeah, well, thanks for the call, Greg. Yeah, I've heard of this. And Greg, do I have it right? Is it a kind of an extension of 24? I mean, are any of the characters the same, or is it just the fact that Kiefer's still dealing with apocalyptic problems?
It's totally different. He's not, he is this laid-back HUD secretary, all of a sudden made president because the last guy there. And it's just him dealing with these, with issues, and there are a lot of similes to some of what's going on in real life, you know, the reaction to...
Or even an unlikely person being the president of the United States. That's interesting.
Exactly. And you know, the reactions to anti-Muslim sentiment, and, you know, I mean, it's surprising how kind of these similes work in, and it's kind of scary, to be honest with you.
Interesting. All right, well, thanks for the call. Have you, either of you guys seen this one?
I did. Well,
Designated Survivor.
I'm not up to date. I watched like the first two episodes, two or three episodes. And yeah, it's interesting, because it's like, if you're just this ordinary guy and you become the president after a huge terrorist attack and you don't know who did it, and now Kiefer Sutherland goes out and uses his words to, you know, get to the bottom of the issue. I think fans of 24, well, I'll just say the fan of 24 who lives in my home, was a little disappointed, because he wanted to watch it and see Kiefer kicking butt and, get into defusing bombs and stuff like that. Right. And that's not what the show is.
Designated Survivor, though. We'll put that on the list. Mitchell in Owings Mills, welcome to Midday with Bridget Armstrong and Jamila Krempel.
Hi there, guys. How is everybody today?
We're doing great.
Good. You?
Terrific. Well, I just want to talk about that I have just completed episode 7 of 8 episodes of Goliath, and it's probably one of the most refreshing series I've seen on TV in a long time. It's streaming through Amazon Prime.
This is Billy Bob Thornton, right?
Billy Bob Thornton, William Hurt is in it, and then they're great, but some of the B-list actors that are the supporting actors, that's where some of the best stuff is. Like, there's this one woman, Nina Arianda, I believe, who is absolutely steals the show as an attorney who works with Billy Bob Thornton. The premise is not all that original, but the characters are rich, and you hang on to every episode. It's just absolutely fabulous.
All right, Goliath on Amazon Prime. Thanks for the call, Mitchell. I appreciate it. By the way, do you guys, Bridget and Jamila, do you watch television on a television, or do you watch it on your laptop?
Both.
Television, but through streaming services with a Fire Stick and all of that, so just so I can watch the stuff that you would normally watch on a laptop.
But you want a screen that's larger than a laptop screen.
And yeah. I'm getting a Chromecast for Christmas, if the person who's supposed to be getting it for me is listening.
Do you hear that, Santa?
So that I can, because I have a small laptop, and sometimes you don't want that small of a screen to watch shows. So I'd rather see it on the somewhat big screen.
Yeah, because it's interesting. Because there are a lot of folks, you know, watching TV. I mean, I get on airplanes, I see people watching it on their phones.
They
want to get caught up. I mean, they're not really worried about the cinematography and all that stuff. They just want to know what's going on with the show.
Mm-hmm.
We have a email from Susan in Mount Washington, who says, "Have we talked about People of Earth on TBS? We have not. She loves it, and Wyatt Cenac is in it, and the rest of the cast. She says it's full of quirky characters and lots of surprises. So that's a new one to me. People of Earth. I love Wyatt Cenac.
Yeah,
he's of course came to prominence on the Daily Show with Jon Stewart,
right.
And I saw him in a straight role. Actually, the other movie that Barry Jenkins did, and now I'm blanking the title. It's 8 years.
Medicine for Melancholy.
Medicine for Melancholy. Term. Congratulations. You get the chance
to go on to our
grand prize round and win a washer dryer. Yeah, but, and it was Barry Jenkins, the guy who wrote and directed Moonlight, based on a play by Terrell Williams, who's, I believe his last name, Terrell McNally, maybe? I'm getting, I don't have this written down, so I can't remember the names. But Wyatt Cenac is a terrific actor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's really, really good. So thanks for that suggestion, Susan. I appreciate it. I want to talk a little bit about Black-ish on ABC. I've seen two or three episodes of this. This is hysterical.
Yeah,
great
I mean, I think the writing in this show is among the crispest, you know, most acute. The characters are great. So, Jamila, tell us what the premise of this one is.
Oh, so
this is third season, so it's been around for a while.
Yeah, what to say about Black-ish? It's one of my favorite shows on television. It's about a family of, I'm counting the children.
A lot of people.
there's four children, two twins. Yeah, soon to be five children. Tracee Ellis Ross, Diana Ross's daughter, plays Beau, Rainbow, the mom. She's a doctor. And Anthony Anderson, what is the character's name, Anthony Anderson?
Why am I blanking?
I can't remember. Anyway, Anthony Anderson's character, Dre.
Dre.
He is a advertising exec. Also the only, well, one of two African-Americans in his big firm in Los Angeles. And the show is really about what does being Black, what does being upper middle class mean in this day and age? And really the term Black-ish is about how they manage to be, well, how they are Black and identify as Black, how they live their lives as Black Americans in this very kind of white world, and how they raise their children to be proud of who they are. And they're very scared that their children are, because they go to integrated schools and because they are well off, that they are not going to grow up knowing what Black means. So they really, the parents really have to adjust their thinking of what is being Black. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's complicated.
Especially for the character, the father, Andre, Anthony Anderson's character, he didn't grow up like his kids at all.
Right.
And Rainbow really didn't either. Her parents were kind of hippies, so it's a different thing. But, you know, Dre grew up in the hood. He had a single-ish mother. His dad, played by Lawrence Fishburne, kind of drops in and drops out. He's there now. He's very funny. Mm-hmm. But what he's characterized as kind of being in and out maybe during the childhood. Yeah. And his childhood was just very different than the children that he's raising. And that's like a source of it. Constant anxiety mm-hmm. for him. We see it play out in these schemes that he kind of cooks up to reel his children back into whatever experience it is. And usually he ends up learning some lesson about letting his kids be who they are, letting his family do what they want. It's, you know, it's
and
a sitcom.
This is an interesting mm-hmm. stretch for a broadcast network. This is ABC.
Yeah.
This is
it's
not
ABC.
Streaming. This is not HBO. And they're confronting issues of race and identification in a real way.
Yes.
Do you think that white viewer, that Midwestern white viewer, you know, the sort of the demo that people talk about in terms of watching television mm-hmm. and consuming media? I mean, we got the left coast and the right coast, mm-hmm. and we know how crazy all those people are. And but that middle American white viewer watching a show like Black-ish mm-hmm. or watching Insecure or Atlanta, are they going to learn something about the Black experience? Are they going to learn? Are they going to have a deeper understanding about what it means to be an African-American in 21st century America?
Probably not if you don't talk to an actual African-American to give it some context for you, because it is television, you know? But I think with Black-ish, I mean, I don't know if it's learned something, but I think it's relatable. What you'll learn is that, you know, families kind of have the same issues, mm-hmm. because although the issues are framed in a, you know, context of race, are my kids Black enough? It is this idea of letting your kids be who they want to be, mm-hmm. which I think is something that people can identify with regardless of their race. But I mean, I think like Atlanta and Insecure, you might, I don't know if you need a translator, like we played that clip. I don't know if without context you'll learn something or learn the right things, but I think these
But will it at least, you know, maybe I'm just being the eternal optimist here, do you think this will help advance the conversation about race in America?
Mm-hmm. I do I think it also offers different portrayals of Black
Absolutely.
People or brown people, so it's not the same stereotypical characters. The characters don't say the things that you expect them to say, mm-hmm. you know, and the situations they find themselves in aren't necessarily what you expect. And so even if it adds, you know, they're fake characters, but it adds, you know, more context, more variety in, you know, who a Black person is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jamila Krimple is a digital producer at WYPR and a former producer for our morning show. Bridget Armstrong is a current producer here on Midday. They are TV junkies, self-proclaimed, and we are talking to. We'll have more to talk about television on our way back after the break. 410-662-8780, where you can join us with your favorite shows. Midday at WYPR.org is our email address and our Twitter handle at Midday Tom Hall. Lots more to talk about. Lots more stuff on the tube. There's some great stuff to catch. We'll talk about it as soon as we come back. Stick with us.
Trident gum is the chewiest gum. Give it to your friends and chew it with your teeth. Your teeth are bones that live outside. They hang from your lips like bats. Oh, outside bones, outside bones. Never forget your teeth, outside bones. The bones that you wash, and when you're a kid, they fall from your head. And to make things less weird, we say they got stolen by a demon that your parents know. Trident.
Oh, I love that show. Yeah. Titus Andromedon from the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Welcome back to Midday. We're talking TV with our TV divas. I know Bridget bristles at this term. She doesn't want to be thought of as a diva. I don't know, Jamila, if you're comfortable with that term. You're feeling
yes.
diva. All right, but they are the Leontine Price and the Kathleen Battles of television land. Jamila Krimple, Bridget Armstrong are talking TV with us here on Midday. You are welcome to join us with your suggestions for must-watch TV. 410-662-8780, our email address midday at WIPR.org, and our Twitter handle at midday Tom Hall. So Titus Andromedon, one of the great characters
yes,
on the Unbreakable Kimmy
of
Schmidt.
Time.
This is a Tina Fey produced show on Netflix.
Amy Poehler, I think.
So anything those two guys are involved in,
sure.
you know, I'm all over. But it's hysterical. And Titus Andromedon, I mean, his actual name is
Titus Burgess.
Burgess as an actor. He is hysterical.
Yes.
So that clip, he was auditioning for a Trident commercial.
Trident commercial. He freestyles it.
Yeah. yeah.
Hilarious.
And that outside bones.
That actor, he's very talented. He's a stage actor as well. He's classically trained in music and singing. You probably know the correct term for that exactly. It's a beautiful voice. He's released an album before and he's hilarious, like you yeah. said. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a great character. I mean, the setup is interesting. She's been like in this
kidnapped
in a bunker for years, and she comes out and she's in New York and she's learning about modern life and stuff. I want to talk about Westworld on HBO because this is kind of like all the rage. Everybody's talking about Westworld. It's a big thing. I guess HBO is hoping that Westworld becomes the next Game of Thrones, right? Which was hugely popular, and I guess
it still is.
I mean, so it's got one more thing. But what do you think, Bridget? Westworld.
So Westworld, I think, was the most watched HBO series like ever. So it is very popular. I like the show. It is very odd. Basically, the premise is these beings, these robots, these very lifelike artificial beings, are in this Wild West themed park, and people come to this park and visit and kind of do all sorts of terrible things to these people, and it kind of brings up these questions of what it means to be human, what it means to be truly conscious. Does it mean that you're a human born from another human and you have a soul? Do these beings have souls? Should we feel bad about the terrible things that happen to them on this show? Thandie Newton is in the show. She's plays one of the robots who becomes conscious. I don't think this is really giving too much away because there are so many twists and turns and spoilers. I mean, I had to read articles. This is one of those that needs to come, you know, with a little chapter explaining things. I had to read the blog post after I watched episodes because there's so many twists and turns and it can be so complicated. But Thandie Newton is one of these artificial beings who basically becomes conscious and kind of tries to fight her way out of the park, and we see that unfold. It's an interesting show. I don't know if in the second season, it's very popular, but I don't know if in the second season, I mean, if I can, you know, pay attention to all these twists and turns again and add it on top of the things that we've learned in the first season yeah. and kind of build another layer. So we'll yeah. see what happens.
Well, it's interesting that you had to go to the blog post and sort yeah. of engage social media because the LA Times and some other people have done a little bit on this, that social media engagement peaks for shows that are broadcast that have casts that are greater than 30% minority.
Right.
So you get people get more engaged on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. And I know there are a lot of communities of people who watch shows together just tweet in real time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's interesting. So if there's a higher level of minority representation in the cast, you get a higher level of participation in social media. It's kind of interesting. We have an email from Michelle who says that she loves Narcos. That's another series that's on Netflix. I guess that's the thing that follows the escapades of Pablo Escobar, the drug kingpin, of great fame and renown. I've heard good things about this. Pretty intense. I mean, you gotta. This is a commitment.
Watch this with grandma.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this is not over the break.
This is not the show for grandmas. Not really a show for the faint of heart. But a lot of these that we're talking about are not like Westworld.
Well,
Westworld is
maybe grandma
know,
might
Black-ish.
Enjoy it. We don't want to judge.
Black-ish.
Yeah. And the thing is, there's so many really incredibly talented people doing it. Like when we think about in the Golden Globes, in the best performance by an actress in a TV series, what a hard category mm-hmm. that's
right.
going to be. I mean, we've got Rachel Bloom from her Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Julie Louis-Dreyfus, who wins every year
for Veep.
I mean, she's won like the last 3 or 4 years in a row. It was incredible. Jessica Parker in a show called Divorce. Mm. Issa Rae, we talked about her from Insecure. Gina Rodriguez, who's another perennial nominee for Best Actress, one of the few Latina representations on television for Jane the Virgin. And then Tracy Ellis Ross, who we were just talking about for Black-ish. That is, I mean,
stacked.
All of those people are awesome actresses.
Right. Yeah. Great shows.
That's really tough.
Yeah,
so it'll be interesting.
There's no duds in that category.
Yeah. I mean, how about accessibility? I mean, the fact that television just costs so darn much.
Absolutely.
I mean, a basic cable subscription, and then you add HBO Showtime or something like that, and then you say, oh, well, I got to have Amazon Prime, or I got to have Netflix, or I got to have Hulu, and that's another $10, $15, $20 a month just to have this stuff. I mean, accessibility is going to matter a lot.
It definitely is.
Forward.
Because, like you said, it's a subscription service, and it could be, you know, about $10 a month, but all of the good shows aren't on the same providers. So if you want to see The Mindy Project or Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, you have to go to two different providers. If you want to watch...
The Mindy Project's on Hulu.
Yeah.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt's
on
Netflix.
Yeah. So you really have to decide. And then if you want to watch something like Mozart in the Jungle, which I know you've watched, you have to get Amazon. And it can be, you know, it can stack up. And then on top of your cable bill, and there are a few shows that I haven't been able to watch on cable because I downgraded my plan. So Queen Sugar, the new show by Ava DuVernay, who I love, I can't watch it because it took away OWN, and it's not available online. So sometimes you can't even find these shows anywhere if you're not with one of these packages or if you don't have it on your cable provider. But I did want to let you know, a Christmas gift to you that I just found out this morning, Broad City, which I love, that you like too, is now available on Hulu.
On Hulu.
Yeah.
See, it's a Comedy Central show that's still on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
So I would have to either get Hulu or just
record it on your
record
DVR.
On Comedy Central. Because I do like Broad City. And that's one of the women, I guess, is, or maybe both of them, were students at MICA. They had a local connection.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Now, Ava DuVernay, have you seen Queen Sugar, Bridget?
Yeah. Queen Sugar. I mean, I like Atlanta a lot. I like Insecure a lot. But Queen Sugar is my favorite new show this year. Fortunately for me, own Oprah's Network, which is what it comes on, is in my cable package, so I catch it on demand usually. And this show is very interesting because Ava DuVernay assembled a team of all women directors. So the episodes are directed by women. They're written by a diverse cast. And the show basically, it's three siblings who are very different from each other. They inherit a sugarcane farm when their father passes away. And it's like 800 acres, something huge. And they decide that they're going to, you know, plant a crop and turn it around. And it's the drama that comes in with that. For me, I'm from North Carolina. I'm from the South, not as southern as New Orleans or as Louisiana where the show is set. But it's very authentic. There were things that I've never heard on television or really in the mainstream. They talked about a dish, hot water cornbread, which is something I don't hear a lot about, but it's something my family eats. And
but
I heard it on that show.
So it rings true.
Right.
Yeah,
and it's
nice.
Little things like that, little sayings you don't hear. But a lot of it rings true. And I think that is basically reflecting the diversity that's in the writing room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Ava DuVernay, a fantastic documentary called 13th, which is about 13th
really
Amendment. Of course, she's a director of Selma, and you know, she's one of those people who got shut out in the Oscars,
exactly.
You know, last year. Interesting. Brittany from Ocean City writes in, if you aren't watching Veep, you're missing out. I agree. I think Veep is a terrific show. It's probably the most hilarious show on TV. That's an HBO project, HBO show. And she also mentions The Mindy Project. And I love Mindy. I mean, Mindy Kaling, she's a very, very good writer.
She is. She's a showrunner.
And she's the showrunner. So another person of color running a show on TV. Now, she has bounced around. She was an actor on The Office, and then Mindy Project was Fox or something?
It was Fox, and then it got canceled.
Yeah, and then it got picked up by, so now it's on Hulu, I guess.
Yeah.
And also, she asked if any of us have watched The Crown on Netflix. It's the current Queen Elizabeth. It's about her. And she, Brittany seems to think it's fascinating for folks who like history. What'd you think?
I tried it. And I think if you're into, you know, the queen and the throne and all of that, it's interesting for you. That's not really my thing.
Your cup of tea.
It's not my cup of tea. But, I mean, it's an interesting time period. It's looking at when the
it's queen. It's the current queen.
But when
it's
she's
the current
young.
Queen. Right.
It's, yeah, it's,
right.
it's when she's young. So that's pretty interesting. I might give it another try. I think I did one or two episodes. I've heard a lot about it.
Here's one from Lee, who writes in and says that watched Stranger Things twice in 3 days. He says, to say I was obsessed is an understatement, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about that one.
I watched all of Stranger Things in a day.
I think I did a weekend.
Yeah, it's great. It really takes you back to those 80s adventure movies that it's a group of kids, they're on some quest or they're trying to figure out some mystery. The child actors who are in it are just so likable.
Yes.
And they're just so darn good. Like, I can't wait to see what these actors will do when they, you know, what kind of roles they'll play when they're adults. And it just grabs you in. There's some things that didn't quite add up for me, but I kept watching. I can tell you a little bit about the premise. So there's five best friends. One of their friends disappears. So there's a search all over the town to find him. He's not going to be where most people can go. I don't know if I should share where he is, but he's not in a place where you can see him. So the five friends have to, or the four, I guess, at that point, have to band together and find this boy in the on the other side.
The other side. Now, I've understand that people like Stranger Things, they may also like a show called The OA.
The OA. That's a show, I think, that came out on Netflix this past Friday. So it's fairly new if you've, you know, one of those people who watched everything on Netflix. It didn't add up for me. It's not as fun as Stranger Things. That cast of child actors make Stranger Things really fun, even though it's a sci-fi thing. And I'm not into sci-fi. The OA is very sci-fi without any of the fun for me. But I think that whole idea of parallel universes and things are not what they seem, it rings true also in the OA. So
we got about a minute left. I want to talk about The Get Down, which is on Netflix. It's about the beginning of the hip-hop era. I've seen the first couple of episodes. I think it's terrific.
Yeah.
Of course, that music is wonderful.
Wonderful. And, so I watched The Get Down, came out a couple of months ago. I watched it and thought this is too much like a music video and, you know, just cut it off. To prepare for this, though, I decided I'll watch one episode since everyone's talking about it. I spent my entire Saturday watching
so you
The
binge.
Get Down. I binged The Get Down.
She's
it's a
dedicated.
Great show. It's very fun. A lot of music. A kind of teenage ensemble. Will Smith's kid, Jaden, is one of the actors on the show. It's fun. It takes place in the Bronx at the end of the disco era, the beginning of hip-hop. So we see how those things kind of brush up against each other and how the characters are affected by those musical movements. It's a fun show, and it deals with some serious themes, too, about poverty in the Bronx in the 80s. I mean, in the 70s and 80s
just
and all of that.
Well written, well directed, well lit, well everything.
Danced.
Yeah, well danced.
And Nas is behind that show. How can we forget? Nas is writing the raps. He's recording the raps.
Hip-hop artist. All right, well, this has been fun, you guys. Thank you so much. It's good to see you. Happy holidays, and we'll see you again soon.
You too. Thanks, Tom.
Bridget Armstrong is a producer of Midday. Jamila Kremple is WYPR's digital producer. There are TV divas who will join us to talk TV from time to time here on Midday. That's it for us today. Tomorrow, the comedian Paula Poundstone joins us to talk about the body politic and to take your calls and comments. And by the way, on Thursday, Dr. Lena Wen joins us for this month's edition of Health Watch. That's all coming up midday, Wednesday and Thursday. Thanks to Joe Squared for providing lunch today. Joe Squared serves cold-fired pizzas, risotto, and local craft beers. Locations and hours can be found on the web, joesquared.com. Entertainment.com. Here and Now is up next after a break for the news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Really glad you've tuned in today. Thanks so much. Have a great day.